Today on Criminal Minds, we talk about Spencer. Spencer. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV After Show. We are here doing Criminal Minds Season 12, Episode 13, titled Spencer. What an episode it was.
Yes.
I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. And of course, as always, you can follow my co-host,
Michelle Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Michelle _ Cullen.
And Chris Howard. Find me at Chris Howard Live on Twitter and Instagram. I want to know what the sigh was for.
Spencer. He went through so much of this episode.
Hard knock life.
Yeah. I mean, we'll definitely get into it, but real quick thoughts of this episode, Spencer. It was very straightforward, but Michelle, thoughts?
I am really grateful he's not dead and his mom is not dead. So I had a weird bit of relief, but I was also really stressed out for him the entire time because I thought he was going to be trapped in Mexican prison for...
How terrible would that be?
For a while.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I think every episode should be like this. The opportunity, yeah, the possibility of having him trapped in Mexican prison, the possibility that his mom could die, but they need to pull the trigger on some of these things.
You just like, want to hurt Spencer.
No, I just want to see.
That's
like,
all I heard.
I like the drama where it's like
I
like the unexpected. I like the unexpected.
Well, you know what I'm really enjoying about, especially this episode, but there have been a few episodes so far this season that have been off book, like off their normal format of how they do an episode.
They're spicing it up.
I'm really excited for it. I mean, you got to think, like, this show has been going on for 12 seasons now. Every once in a while, you have to change up your format to make it still interesting. I mean, we're still going to watch. It's a very interesting show. Yeah. But the fact that each episode, sometimes now... In this season, I'm like, I'm not sure what's new, what's not. And
it's exciting.
That's what keeps us involved and engaged in the show.
That's right.
Yeah. Spencer, I was stressed out through watching this entire episode, and I watched it twice. And at the end, I did not feel good because I didn't know what was going to happen.
The first time or the second time?
Both. I'm like, you can't end an episode the way it did.
No.
I mean, you obviously have to keep watching. That was kind of a cliffhanger episode.
It was because... You thought he was safe. He was going back to the BAU, and then he was going to be held in his hometown. And you were under the assumption that he would have representation from the Bureau. And I was still waiting for his toxicology results, which are hopefully going to come next episode because they didn't come.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know if Scratch actually had something to do with this. And I would be surprised if he didn't. But
well, we got toxicology. Yeah, I mean, we got we got that it was coke and heroin.
We did. We're skipping a little bit right now. We're kind of going to the end. But
sorry.
You know, let's start at the beginning.
Yeah,
we see a car chase in Mexico desert, and it ends up being Reed with drugs in his possession. Thoughts? This was so out of character.
I don't know why there were so many police cars. I don't know why they didn't chase the truck.
Right. Oh, that's a really good question.
Like, I'm just really confused.
Is it possible that the police were setting them up?
I feel like the police did everything by the book in this episode.
You?
I would be...
Except for chase the truck.
But that's the thing, we don't know. Maybe they did lose the truck beforehand, and then because Reed was still behind, they ended up chasing him to the end and lost the truck.
Yeah, because we still don't know anything about the truck or the driver in the truck.
Yeah. Who it was.
I bet you they won't make it the police that was setting up, but that would have been a good plot line because, but they couldn't have it's kind of the stereotype that it was the Mexican police that set them up, right? But if that would be a neat plot, that would be neat, I think, if they went that direction. I don't
that
think
it
they
was
were.
A setup from the Mexican
the Mexican police
force?
Were in on it.
That, but my
I'm
question is,
they
like,
didn't.
If that was a setup from the Mexican police force, what's the motive behind it?
Yeah, what would be
well,
the point?
Were,
what did they
it
have
was part
against
of the
Reed?
Yeah, but it could have been part of something bigger. We don't know yet.
We don't know. Wish we were still finding out the answers.
I don't think that's the direction to go, but I think it would be cool.
I can see that. I mean, they did do, God, was that season 9 when they had the two-episode end of the season, there was a corrupt police team in Texas.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So they've had an entire corrupt unit that they've been working with before.
Right. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, and it was in Texas, huh?
I think it was in Texas. I believe it was a small town in Texas.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember that so long ago.
Yeah.
Because he was on the Texas border.
Yeah, so yes. He was apparently going back from Texas to Mexico, back and forth, Reed was, and stuff. But he gets caught, he's in jail, he's drugged up on cocaine and heroin.
And maybe other things.
And possibly a few other drugs, too. They were speculating that there was actually three.
What's that? They called it something, is it called a speedball? So that's when they mix them together?
Yes.
What's
yes.
that feel like when you come down?
I don't know, I've never
done this. Just messing with you.
I actually don't joke about drugs.
I'm
yes.
sorry, you don't joke.
But apparently, they gave him a speedball. That messed yep. with his time, memory, and just overall functionality.
Yeah, because yeah. one of them was a high and the other one was a low. So
yeah.
the way that they interact, I guess, causes cognitive dissonance and,
does it? Huh.
and memory loss.
And,
yeah, is what they were saying.
Dissociative memory loss.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and they were speculating that there was a third one in there that caused something.
Some sort of third drug element?
So, Prentice was specifically asking about a third drug.
Scopolamine.
Because of Scratch.
Yes.
Because that is his kind of signature
MO,
drug.
Yeah.
MO.
What are your thoughts on they think Scratch might be behind all this setting Reed up?
I think they're wrong.
I think it's finally going to be accurate for once, but they've also said it in several different one-off episodes. I get it's on the back of their mind. Scratch is a mastermind, evil genius, mm-hmm. who is messing with them and has caused Hotch to go into hiding in witness protection. And it could be him behind every weird case that they get, and they need to rule that out. It feels a little random when it happens. Yeah. I actually think it would come into play for this, though, targeting a specific member of the BAU team.
Yeah.
It is targeting, so yeah, I can see it, but it just seems too right there for you. To me, it seems like,
Yeah, I kind of agree with both of you a little bit. I'm a little bit torn, because I think it was too easy of an excuse to already pin it on Scratch, but it's not far-fetched from the
what
truth of what
say?
He could do.
I look at it as Scratch playing a game and taking out the best player on their team.
Yeah, mentally.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because Reed is a genius. He mm-hmm. can look at things and figure things out a lot quicker. He's an encyclopedia of knowledge. Without his brain working for the BAU team to help catch him, he has a higher chance of getting away with everything.
And you have to remember, the very first episode of this season was Scratch using Reed's identity to get, mm-hmm. you know, all those materials.
And praying,
to kill the victims. So yep. it may be that was, now seeing this episode, maybe the first episode of the season was a slow build-up to this one.
It could be. And
if it is Scratch.
Preying on his emotional instability right now, dealing with his mother and trying so hard to save her, is the perfect time to target him, in all honesty.
It is. And because we lost Scratch, they don't know his actual pinpoint whereabouts, and they're speculating that he could be in Mexico.
Good.
Being the one targeting. And it's just kind of sad, because now, so far, he's targeted Hotch to the point where he's in hiding. He's targeted Tara and his brother, and now he's targeting Reed.
Yeah, that's quite possible, I guess. Yeah,
it could be.
Yeah.
And it's like nicely dispersed throughout the season, so... It's not...
So
again,
we don't necessarily put it together right away.
Exactly. But like, I could kind of believe it could be Scratch, but I think it's too obvious to think it's just him.
Right. To jump to that conclusion. Right. That's why they can't do it either. You know, it's like, it would be nice to be able to fit it in that box, but it's like...
It'd be nice to pinpoint it on Scratch, because mm-hmm. it would completely clear Reed of all of this, hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's going to be cleared one way or the other.
Or he's going to be in prison for the rest of the season.
See, that's what I'd like to see happen. I think those are the cool
moves.
He's
not going to be in Mexican prison.
He's going to be in a prison, which still doesn't
help. But wouldn't it be great if they had to talk to him in prison? And wouldn't that add a neat dynamic to
him? No, that'd be terrible.
Reed would not survive that long in prison.
No,
that's true. He didn't even turn around when the guy approached him in prison. Guy's like, you're going to need more than your mama.
Yeah.
But
well, again,
he was still
he
on
was high
hardcore.
At that time.
Oh, that's true. That's
he
true.
Wasn't mentally there to deal with anything.
Right. Yeah.
No, I felt so bad for him, especially after, you know, him being drugged up and now kind of going through that again, not by choice that someone forced and drugged him to do this again after all he went through in season two, mm-hmm. after Tobias Hankel. This episode was pretty much Revelations part two.
Yeah.
Because I went back to that episode.
After watching this episode twice.
Yes, true. I went back to Revelations and I watched it, and everything's pretty much the same beat for beat. And really? But if you think about it,
I'm going to have to watch
that
tonight.
There are ties to Revelations episode in season two, you guys. If you haven't checked that episode out, you should. But it makes sense for this episode, because in this episode, Reed, there was moments where when Reed was drugged up, he's like, I'm not weak. That happened in Revelations when he was drugged up, saying, I'm not weak. That was his mantra to keep him going.
Interesting.
Wow.
And also, at the one of the quotes in season two in Revelations was Ecclesiastes. And in this episode was Ecclesiastes. I think it's just a little too on the nose.
Huh.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, this episode completely parallels Revelations.
That's interesting.
That's why I call it Revelations.
So they like to drug this guy up, huh? That's the way to his...
They gave him a 10-year break from that.
Oh. Yeah, they did. I loved when Tara was like, who's Tobias Hankel? What happened?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, bad onset 10 years ago.
Really bad.
10 real-life years ago?
Yeah. That happened in 2006. It's 2017 now.
It's about time we drug
him
again.
It's going on 11 years now. Yeah. But throughout all this, of course, Emily and the whole BAU team gets notified, and they go down there to help save him, probably try to exonerate him and stuff. But we find out while Reed is getting off of his high, he remembers Dr. Rosa Medina, who that was actually an alias.
Yes.
Your thoughts on Rosa, and how did she play into this? Did you trust her? Did you not?
We didn't really see her, did we?
Not for the small amount that she was there.
Just the flashbacks. I thought that the alias thing was interesting, having an anagram of her name to find out who they really were. That was really cool of Walker to figure out. Thank God Reed wrote her name on his arm. Otherwise, it just, he would be in Mexican prison. He would be in El Diablo.
Yeah.
And dead.
You're already dead.
Already dead.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Now, what's the actor's name who plays Walker?
Damon Gupton.
Damon Gupton. Okay. He's in Bates Motel as well.
Yes, he is.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to...
He's also a talented trombone player.
Was he ever in Smallville?
I did not watch Smallville. Not
sure. I love Smallville.
Yeah, I did too.
There's 10 seasons of that to go through to.
Okay, we'll have to go check.
Remember that.
Yeah. He might be. He's been acting for a decade or so.
Good amount.
But is he Canadian-based?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Dr. Rosa Medina, we actually find out, is Nady Ramos. You know, it was an anagram. But she is actually, she did a research, and she was a specialist on reverse brain degeneration, so that's why Reed was after her and tried to get information and medicine to help his mother and her Alzheimer's disease. But poor Nady, she was murdered in her hotel room.
Stabbed 25 times.
Which doesn't make Reed look good, because her, like, now they're pinning this murder on Reed.
He's got a cut on his hand.
He
remembers grabbing the knife. On top of...
His DNA is everywhere.
Yeah, on top of drug possession and having it in his physical body system, now he has a whole murder case that they're pinning on him. Mm-hmm. So it's like all these things, the trifecta, really.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No, because you already get so much time for having cocaine and heroin.
Mm-hmm. Let alone also while you're on it.
Yeah.
In Mexico.
And then there's a dead body.
Beyond U.S. borders and U.S. jurisdiction.
Like, whoever set him up wanted him to go away for life and preferably not come back.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. They covered their bases. They were like, this will get him years.
I'm just trying to figure out, did they really set him up?
Yes.
I mean, is it possible that he just grabbed a car to chase them rather than, and it was their car and it had the drugs in there, rather than having somebody planted the drugs, that they just drugged him, killed her, and maybe it wasn't the big setup that everybody thought.
Maybe.
But again, those are also the questions that we never got answered in this episode, that we have to wait to next episode to get the answer.
Because, he walked into Mexico. He took a bus to the border and he walked.
Physically walked in. Risking his own life, going against security protocol.
Using his personal passport.
Well, think about it. He's getting something that's not FDA approved. He's walking across the border so that there's no record of it. He plans on walking back. He goes to the hotel room with Nadi or Rosa or whatever her name is. Somehow he winds up with a bunch of drugs in his system. He fought somebody that was trying to kill her. It could have had really nothing to do with him at all. You know, it could have all been circumstances surrounding her. They were coming after her. The drugs were in the back of her car or somebody else's car over there.
Yeah. It's very out of character for Reed.
Yeah. And right. Yes, he tried to chase him down, but he's on this drug that kicks in.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And I loved how Penelope was like, I could spill some secrets on him, but he doesn't do drugs. You know? And so it was just clear cut that's like, this could not be the Reed that we know. He would never do this willingly. And I thought it was just very out of character for Reed in this episode, which makes me really it's hard to believe that this could ever happen to him, which I feel bad. Very out of character. And yes, thank you everyone in the live chat. We are rating it. Thank you, Billie Jean Girl 24. She says Reed was in jeans and plaid shirts, and even that was out of character. That's not like him either.
Well, I mean, if you're walking across the border to go pick up this non-FDA approved medicine,
I could see incognito.
Yeah, he wanted to be incognito. That's for sure.
Yes.
I think it's possible without a setup.
I think it's a setup.
You think it's a setup? Well, we learn in this cognitive interview. I miss cognitive interviews, especially conducted by Prentice because she's great at them. In this cognitive interview, when he starts to slowly come down off of his high, we learn that, yes, he took the bus, he walked across the border, met Rosa, and something happened within the exchange. And that's when there was a fight in the hotel room. Rosa was knocked down, and Reed was knocked down, and there was a third person in the room. We don't know who. We don't know if it's a woman, if it's a man, what were the reasons for killing
And how Rosa. Did the drugs get in the system? I'm assuming you have to inject this. I don't know how that drug's taken, but like I'm assuming
it's probably injection, so it happened that fast.
Right, so they injected him at some point.
If it's a speedball, is it like a chew tablet?
I don't know either.
I don't chew drugs.
You're asking the wrong person.
Somebody who knows, please let us know in the chat.
We're not a panel of knowledgeable people when it comes to illegal substances.
We're not druggies.
I'm going to take that as a positive thing overall. Yeah. I have no idea.
It's good that we don't know this.
Inject it, yeah.
Yeah, but let us know. I'm actually curious.
Because he didn't have a track mark, and I feel like the easiest thing would be just to put it.
And his flashback was that to the 10 years ago show where he was being injected with the substance?
Yeah, that was Revelations episode.
There you go.
See, this is basically Revelations.
And they also said your veins were hard to find. I mean, I guess you don't need a vein.
Dehydrated.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't understand. Yeah.
But so I'm assuming they injected him at some point. Maybe that. Why would they have injected him?
They were taking a blood sample.
No, but why would the bad guys have shot him up with drugs? To pin it on him.
To make it so he can't remember what happened?
All of those are good reasons.
Huh. Like, if we can make him forget what he saw, and also get him to be guilty.
You'd have to anticipate that would be the reaction of that drug combination. I don't know that it's always the reaction. It sounds like that's sometimes what happens.
Whoever owned the cocaine and the heroin, I'm sure they were pretty
savvy.
Confident in that. Like, I don't know drugs, but I watched Sons of Anarchy 3 times in a row, all 7 seasons. I sort of understand.
I know, but it's TV's, hard to think that you'd get a predictable result like that.
I understand FX's version of how drugs work based on Sons of Anarchy.
I love how we're referencing all these other shows for us to understand this one. Well, other than that, I mean, what I really enjoyed, because right now it's like looking all downhill for Reed. It's not looking good. But we got some backup from our Beyond Borders cast. We got Matt Simmons and Claire comes back, and they help try to really work things out. We find out the vials that Reed was getting for his mother were, some of them were FDA unapproved, but they weren't illegal. So there was no contraband, so they can't pin him for that. But the fact that he had to cross the border to get them was questionable.
It's always going to be questionable, something like that, but it's not something that's going to throw him into prison for life. You know, you know what I mean? It's going to have, there's ramifications for those types of things, but it's not serious. Killing somebody and drug trafficking is.
Yeah. But these vials, this is where we learn more about Nady Ramos, a.k.a. Rosa, that she's actually an American citizen.
Dun, dun, dun.
Works in Houston, lives in Mexico, travels back and forth, dual citizenship, which makes concurrent jurisdiction for the BAU. Which, that's the little light of hope. Yes. A little ray of hope in this episode.
That was when they found that out and they were all excited. And
yeah, that changed
the
everything.
Police captain, the Mexican police captain was like, I still have my orders. That made me pissed off at the police system. Because I was like, it's literally, she's a U.S. citizen. You know it's going to happen. They know it's going to happen. Please don't send him to El Diablo. Because if he's there for even an hour, like, that's not good.
I was just I was surprised how fast their system was working.
Yeah.
Like, this happened 1 hour ago. We're going to transfer him in 2 hours.
Yeah, you got to
see. Because we want to pin it.
But
we
that's kind of fishy, though, too. Like, they know he's an FBI agent. They know and they want to send him, they want to transfer him that fast. Why?
Yeah, within the day.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, objectively looking at it from their point of view, that's an open and shut case.
Wow.
You have the evidence, you have a cut on his hand, you have drugs in his system, you have drugs in his trunk, you have the dead body, you have his blood and DNA.
And he's racing across the border.
And he's racing across the border, and he knows the victim, and
everything
he's
makes
not himself.
Reed like, look guilty.
Yes, everything makes Reed look like the perfect criminal for this crime. So as far as they are concerned, that's an easy case. He did it. Their orders came from above to transfer him.
See, I'm just thinking, is it possible that somebody, maybe that was being treated by her or something, that their family got, you know, then she was saying, hey, we can help you to reverse this, and it got worse, or somebody got...
Protection.
Yeah, and they wanted to take it out on her or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm really excited to meet next week and talk more.
I know.
Or the drug companies or something, you know? It could have been...
Well, maybe. But, okay, so we learned that she's an American citizen, which kind of sways in the favor of... us, the BAU team, that they can bring him back to Virginia and not go to Mexican prison, which was good. I was actually
that's a game changer.
Really, yeah. I was like stressed out, worried about this. But I'll just tracking back just a little bit. During the cognitive interview with Prentice, she recorded the audio. She almost deleted it.
Prentice broke the law.
Yeah, also, I don't think she deleted it. But she lied about it.
She didn't delete it because she got a phone call.
But
then she lied about it, which is withholding evidence for their case.
From their authorities.
So now that she's done this, what do you think that's going to happen with, like, is she going to get reprimanded? Is that going to work against?
She broke the Mexican law.
That's still a law.
Well, it's their law. I just wonder, like, I mean...
But that's materialistic evidence.
She broke the deal, withheld evidence from Mexico. I don't think the
That's like
the
withholding exculpatory evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exculpatory.
Yeah. Exculpatory. Yeah. I probably
Good
butchered
word
that word.
Today.
That's withholding materialistic evidence.
No, yeah. I get it. I just wonder. I mean, what would the ramifications really be? I bet you that type of stuff happens between countries all the time.
When you swear an oath to the FBI to uphold due process,
the U.S. law,
and everything, like you consciously are going against everything you believe in when you make that kind of choice for someone you love. So it's illegal. She knows it. It might come up in the trial. Like, what if Spencer accidentally says he remembers her recording it?
Who knows?
Yeah.
But that's also the problem because it's on her phone. There are ways to get that audio.
She could get hacked by Scratch because he's the mastermind.
Yeah. There's so many wrong things.
I need resolution. Gosh darn it.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many ways to get that audio, and that immediately works against her. It's like, Prentice, what are you doing? Like, I get your top brass now, right now, in this, and like, I get you're trying to look out for Reed, but that's working against you.
I think it's a really important moment that we saw that she didn't have time to actually delete it, and it's going to bite her in the butt.
She's federal law enforcement in the U.S. lying to a local
Mexican
authority.
Law
a local... Mexican authority. I don't think she cares.
Well, I mean,
she works for Interpol. I think she has respect for all.
No, she can have respect, but she also knows that the case is going the way that it is. It's not like planting a glove at OJ's house. You know, it's like she just lied about the recording.
But that's also just that makes her just as guilty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially saying that this is pretty much more evidence against Reed. Mm-hmm. It's not helping this case no matter what it is.
Because she also played it for Alves and Rossi, and so now they're witness to it too. So if they get called under oath, and then
it'll
they're
be interesting
torn,
in the
like,
trial.
What's going to happen to the BAU team?
I think it's going to bite her so hard.
Yep.
Darn it, Prentice. Come on. You know better than this. It's very frustrating. But, yeah, didn't record an interview with that. But we also tried to, we see Walker try to contact the BAP and try to get Bureau of Legal Assistance on this case, which Reed is not eligible for because he was never properly briefed by the government. This wasn't a government case. He was there on his own personal time.
I like that. I like the realism of that.
Yeah. It's not eligible, so now they're on their own, quote unquote.
12 years of working for the BAU, he's on his own.
He's on his own.
It's the stuff that happens.
Yeah. But if you think about it, this case, or this whole situation, he tried to go on his own.
Yep.
And look at the mess he made.
Yeah, I mean, he was very lucky to have that whole team fighting for him. Imagine if he was somebody else.
Right,
yeah.
If he was just a regular civilian, he'd already be in the prison right now.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's pretty fortunate to have that. I don't know what he'll do if he can't have if they're not fighting for him now legally, you know, where do you stand like that? I mean, how would he pay for something?
They're all going to pitch in and
get him
counsel.
Yeah, absolutely. And the great thing that I enjoyed about this episode, and we've been talking about it in the past few episodes, that there's so many people now on the show, it's kind of hard to get, like, exact moments with all of them, and it's just more spread out.
Yeah.
But everyone kind of brought their A game in this episode, and they brought all their skills. They talked to their connections, and they literally all came together.
Yep. I did love that they were split. Half of them stayed behind to do research and use the databases. Half of them went down to Mexico to see Reed and try to get him out. Mm-hmm. And doing that and splitting those scenes makes for smaller dialogue or smaller groups. With more dialogue.
Yeah,
rather.
More intimate dialogue.
More intimate dialogue.
Especially with JJ. Oh, my goodness. What were your thoughts of JJ and her trying to process all this of her best friend, Reed?
Her best friend and the godfather to her...
Child.
To both? Just one.
I think just the first one. Okay. Just Henry. This broke my heart. Seeing her, because even at the beginning of the episode, she's like, I should have known. I missed all the signs. And that was just like a clear vision or clear sight that
she had the bad mom feeling.
Hey, I should have known. She did. Right.
She had that bad mom premonition. And like, you think back to Revelations and they split up. And she regretted it.
Exactly.
And she was like, we're never splitting up again. Mm-hmm. And goodness knows what she's feeling.
Oh, I'm just shocked that you can remember these episodes.
You don't know how much I love this show. How many hours I've spent rewatching the seasons when I'm cleaning my apartment.
Same here. I literally just rewatched about 10 to 15 episodes in the last 48
hours. It just happens. It just keeps playing.
It's
Netflix just lets it keep playing.
I love Netflix. Or you have the DVD collection.
Where
you actually put the effort into putting the disc to play
those
specific episode.
When Netflix takes it away, I'll get the DVDs.
Oh, I have the DVDs. Don't worry. Don't you worry. I gave my money in time for this.
Netflix doesn't exist anymore.
Well, they're also on CBS.
But Revelations, yes, this episode does really tie well into Revelations, and now I'm so glad you brought that up too. Yeah,
because that was her first
experience.
She had
a bad feeling. We're like, what? And we even talked about that. It's like, what could possibly happen? And this was it.
Yep,
this was it.
Mothers
know.
Yeah,
it's that natural intuition.
Yes.
Oh my goodness!
Spencer's had every once in a while when something bad happens to a character, I try to remember all of the other bad things that have happened and see if it balances out with the other characters. I feel like Spencer has had a lot of particularly
more than his fair share
bad things. That was only outshined by Derek in the last season. Derek had a lot of bad happen really fast.
Yes, very true. Like, that was all like 1, 2, 3, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
All in the same season.
But Spencer, in season 2, was kidnapped and forced to take drugs, and his feet were clubbed, which is terrifying.
I was thinking about it also. The, all the episodes that are titled after the character names, they usually... Something bad happens to them and they leave. If you think about it, I'm going back in my memory.
All right.
Lauren, that was season 6, where Prentice was stabbed and...
branded.
Beaten up, and they wrote her off the show.
Yep.
The episode was called Lauren?
That was her alias back then. Yes, but that was an episode where Prentice left. Season 6, at the beginning of the season, JJ was the episode where JJ left. The episode Morgan in last season, in season 11.
So we were totally justified in our fear.
Yeah.
That, like, Spencer was going to leave because
the... Now, wait a second. So they were completely written off the show? They left and they were gone?
Yeah, the characters were written off.
Yeah.
Wow. So then this is relevant, maybe.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's like 4 different characters that have already happened that has title name characters in the episodes written off.
This is huge.
So we have this episode.
This is a big finding.
Named Spencer. Of course, we're going to think he's going to be written off.
So you think there's really a chance he might be written off? Have there been any other episodes named after the character where they haven't been written off?
No.
Not that I
can... The first one, because he's still technically in the next episode.
Yeah.
Oh,
unless the writing...
You're on to something. This is...
JJ and Emily came back?
They came back. I mean, but if you know the CBS scandal after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's... I mean, if that's a pattern, you could be on to something. He may be gone.
Matthew, please don't go away.
He may be going to prison.
If he leaves, the show is over. You kind of have to realize that.
Yeah.
You can't lose the third alpha male in the show and be gone.
No.
And,
really?
Like, think that the show can continue.
They have new males.
We love this show.
I know, but they have new males.
But he can't leave. That's basically what I'm saying.
How are you going to replace a Spencer Reed?
Yeah, you can't.
He made that character so uniquely him.
I'm pushing because I can see your eyes tearing up.
We can't lose Spencer in this episode.
No. He can't go away. Sorry, Matthew.
No. We're not going to allow it.
So you're saying the pattern will be broken in this one?
I sure hope it is. Yeah. It's like that's just mean. If they actually do write him off, I'd be like, I'm done.
Yeah.
No.
But he's still in it, and he's in the U.S.
He's still there.
But yeah, he had that happen. Maeve got killed in front of him.
Yeah.
A lot happened to
the main core cast of this
But you got to think, I mean, he hasn't been so present as of recent anyway.
No, he's been dealing with his mom.
Yeah, but they may have just brought him back in order to write it off for good. I mean, maybe.
Or do you think this is, okay, I'm completely stretching here, because all this is happening with Spencer, and he keeps asking throughout the whole episodes, like, how's my mom? What's she up to? How's she doing? Do you think that was... Whatever was happening, Spencer, was a distraction for his mother. Like, something could be actually happening to her. Even though they said that she's fine, but do you really believe that?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
I don't see her lasting much longer.
Yeah, I mean,
me neither.
Yeah.
My only question is, like, how do you build up an episode that has this whole... problem storyline with Reed and his mother, and now he's in trouble, but how do you... cap it off end with a mother.
This is crazy, and I kind of hope it doesn't happen, but I could see it happening, that with all of the drama and everything, eventually Reed gets off, but the stress of it kills his mom.
Well, I mean, she looks like she's on her way out anyway, because, I mean, look, that scene where she's like, I hate you, I hate that stuff. Yeah. Have we seen her respond in that way before? You guys would know.
No. Because she didn't recognize her own son.
Yeah,
I know, but that was, I mean, just to respond with such hatred and rage and pushing it away. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I do think, while I don't think that it's just trying to distract from the mother, I do think that the mother's on her way out very quickly.
Yeah. I don't think, because even if you go back to Revelations, that episode when something happened, the mom got more upset rather than mad. So when we saw the episode where she got mad at Spencer, I think that was like the first visceral reaction. I think she responds to Reed more out of love and compassion and sadness rather than anger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what we saw here this time. So.
No.
Yeah. I mean, because not remembering somebody is one thing, but to have such rage is something different.
I don't know, but anything else about this episode? They're on their own. I wonder if who could possibly fill in
I don't know. I didn't recognize the lawyer. So whoever they got in the preview, yeah.
Yeah, me neither. Which this would have been, unfortunately, with the whole situation with Thomas Gibson, but this would have been like the next episode would have been the perfect opportunity to have Hotch come back because he used to be a prosecutor.
Yeah.
He would have been perfect. He would have been the shoo-in for the prosecutor role. He's the only one that has prosecutor lawyer experience.
Yeah.
And he's not going to come back
because of the whole situation.
Well, I also wonder, because they were mentioning Cruz a lot, and I know he has a role overseeing their entire department, but he's not a character really anymore. Like, yeah. I would love for him to just pop back in.
Yeah, it would have been great, but he's not a prosecutor.
He's not, but he might have connections because he's higher up.
Maybe. Yeah, and that's my thing. I was like, who else do they know who could possibly come and defend Reed?
Right? That's terrifying when you work in the BAU in the FBI and you're like, oh God, who do we know?
We're literally who out are of our connections? Resources.
Shoot.
That's it. All right. Really great episode. The quotes that I love. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right but never sins. Speaking about Reed, of course, at the beginning and then at the end. There are so many fragile things after all. People break so easily, especially, and so do dreams and hearts. Neil Gaiman. Still relating to Reed.
Yep.
So stressful. A really great episode, despite the fact that we didn't really have an unsub in this.
Yeah.
But we're going to find out, hopefully, next episode.
We are. In the Law and Order feeling. In the next episode, where we're in a courtroom for presumably most of it, which is going to be fascinating.
Probably. And we were talking before the show that there's probably only one episode that has all really been dealt in the court, Tabula Rasa Season 3.
Yep.
Yeah. Go check out that episode if you haven't seen that either. You're welcome. We listed all these episodes for you to watch.
Just go back. It all ties in.
That's your homework. All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. Of course, where can everyone keep following you?
Find me at Chris Howard Live on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen. I want to plug Kirsten Vegas' show at Theater of Note in Hollywood. It has 9 more runs, and I am in it tomorrow night with her.
Yay!
So if you're in Hollywood, stop on by at 8 p.m.
And you can tell her how stressful this episode
was. And you can tell her writing was brilliant, but what the hell?
What the hell?
It's Vangness, right?
Vangness.
Yes. Dang it.
Such a great episode, though. And you can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those fun social media platforms at AfterBuzzTV. Keep rating, keep commenting, keep subscribing, keep joining us in the live chat. We love reading all your comments and talking to you guys every single week. We have a doozy of an episode to follow this one.
I'm so excited.
And we will talk about that next week. See you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.